me. I never need to hide.
All right, welcome back. With your host, James St. John Smythe, and today we'll be discussing the 1981, I think that's right, Bond film, For Your Eyes Only. Roger Moore's fifth outing as Card Sense Jimmy. But first of all, how are you? How have you been? It's good to hear from you, good to talk to you again. It's been a while. What am I drinking today? I teased it a little bit last time. It's the breakfast martini. Now, you're intrigued, aren't you? You're thinking, boy, St. John Smythe, I've been on the edge of my seat, pins and fucking needles, waiting for you to explain what the breakfast martini is. Well, I'll tell you right now. I had it on Seiko's podcast a while back. We discussed Spies Like Us. And I was actually just on his podcast last weekend. We discussed with Doug from Rocky Minute. We discussed Conan the Destroyer. I don't recommend that movie, but I do recommend the podcast. And I recommend the entire network. We have new shows on there. They're not better than this show, clearly, as you can see from the early onset of this episode. Can't beat this entertainment. But if you do want to look into a show that you get maybe more than once every 6 months, we have some sort of Bruce Willis podcast. It like only covers his shitty movies. I think that's the synopsis. If I'm getting that wrong, then, you know, sorry. What do you want me to do? And I think Katie from the Rocky podcast is doing a show about something. I'm sorry. I didn't look this up before I started. But she's doing something. That you can be sure of. Anyway, enough about everyone else. The Breakfast Martini. It was invented in jolly old England, I believe, from, you know, the legend goes. And this dickhead bartender was having breakfast at his house one day, toast and orange marmalade. And he said, boy, oh boy, I'm just drunk enough to think this is a good idea for a cocktail. So he got to work that day and he mixed orange marmalade with its lemon juice and gin and orange liqueur. Grand Marnier, basically. A great drink. Now, the beauty is in the name. You say breakfast martini and instantly everyone's like, well, hell, shit, what the hell is that? Tell me more about this. You have my attention, sir. It had my attention, so much so that I made it. Stronger than you think, because like lemon juice, Grand Marnier, like it has, and then some gin, you wouldn't think like that's gonna, you know, make you breathe fire a little bit, but it's surprisingly strong. So, the breakfast martini, highly recommended. But this is a big weekend. Speaking of the Brits, you got the coronation this weekend. You got the coronation this morning. You had Cinco de Mayo yesterday. You got the Kentucky Derby today. There's all kind of stuff going on. And I don't know how to sneak in all these drinks. Cinco de Mayo, you got to drink tequila. The breakfast martini, I did in honor of the coronation. The Kentucky Derby, the mint julep. I have an herb garden at my house. I planted some mint. And I'm trying to figure out what the fuck to do with mint. So I made some mint simple syrup. That obviously works for mint julep. That works for mojito. We might have a mojito. I've been so confused. I put so much brain power into what my drink schedule for the weekend was going to be. And finally, like a flash, it hit me. And I ran home and I burst through the bedroom door. And I said, honey, I've got it. Cinco de Mayo, we drink a tequila drink. The next day, breakfast martini, since the coronation is going to take place in the morning. Breakfast martini and a mint julep in the afternoon. And we can use the mint simple syrup for whatever we want. A mint lemonade with vodka, or a mojito, a frozen mojito. We have all kind of options. And I said, you know, what do you think about that? And my wife responded, this is Steve, the man I've been sleeping with. And I say, what? So For Your Eyes Only. So Moonraker was a big success, obviously. The biggest one yet. But it was wacky. It's crazy. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it was a nutso, batso movie. And they say, where do we go from here? Well, no pun intended, let's get him back down to earth. We can't keep going that crazy, so let's kind of, you know, like they always do, let's go back to, like, From Russia with Love. Let's kind of go bare bones and bring Bond kind of back to his roots. So, let's just get started. I mean, there's really nothing else to do. Might as well get started. We start with a gun barrel and a PTS. This gun barrel might be one of my, I mean, next to Pierce in, like, Tomorrow Never Dies, World's Not Enough, this might be my favorite gun barrel. The music is the shit. More on that later. Bill Conti does the score for this movie. The gun barrel music, I am fucking digging. So we get our PTS. Bond's at his dumb dead wife's tombstone, which is kind of a nice little continuity thing. You get to see Tracy's tombstone. I mean, who doesn't like seeing a tombstone, you know? And his office called, a priest says, and he says, there's a chopper come and pick you up. And the priest starts blessing him as he's leaving, which, you know, is never a good sign. And turns out, gas, the priest knew something because Blofeld takes control of the chopper. And now he's driving it via remote control. And I guess it's Telly Savalas Blofeld because he's bald, he's got a neck brace. He's fucking with Bond from a roof somewhere. So he's doing all these tricks with Bond. He's fucking with him. He's talking shit. He's just showing off, really. Throws him through a tunnel. And Bond finally, like, checks out where the wire's coming in and fucks that up and takes control of the chopper. Picks up Blofeld as, like, he's shagging ass on his wheelchair trying to get away, which is just always fun. You always like to see a crippled person running away from somebody. But they can't run, can they? They can just wheel away. That's all they can do. So Bond picks him up, throws him down this mine shaft, or I don't even know what he throws him down. And that's when we get our famous line among Bond fans, I'll buy you a delicatessen in stainless steel, which we're just not clear on what that means. But he does say it. And Blofeld apparently is dead, I guess. But this is what happens when you dick around for too long. You had him right where you wanted him. I mean, I know this is a Bond trope, but you kept talking shit, throwing him around everywhere. Kill him, man. And this is what happens. And he's credited as a question mark in credits because they couldn't use the Blofeld name technically. Hey, that's an early fun fact. That's a PTS fun fact. PTSFF. So you're welcome for that. Not a bad pre-title sequence. It has nothing to do with the plot, I guess, other than like the whole revenge thing. And Blofeld killed his wife, so he wants revenge. But I don't know if that was intentional or not. It's just weird. Like, it's weird timing to go back to Tracy at this point. I mean, this is Roger Moore's fifth movie. This is our sixth movie since On Her Majesty's. It's weird. But whatever. I guess it's fine. The helicopter chase is kind of cool. Or it's not really a chase. It's just a helicopter flying around. So I guess now that I say that out loud, it's not that cool. So whatever. You know, bottom 10 of pre-title sequences. It's all right. Not bad. And we cut to our title sequence with our title song by Sheena Easton, For Your Eyes Only. Not my favorite. It's one of my least favorites, actually. You know, you got your usual shit of Die Another Day, Another Way to Die, all that stuff. I mean, this is near that. This and Moonraker is near the bottom for me. I just have never liked this song. But hey, here's a fun fact. Sheena Easton is the only singer to appear in the title sequence. She appears in it. So, I mean, I'm not sure if that's a fun fact, but it's a fact. I just said it. It's a fact. So, you know. And she was the youngest Bond singer until Billie Eilish. Again, not sure if that's a fun fact, but it is a fact. You can look it up. My notes rarely lie. So we got to the movie, and this ship that holds the ATAC, Automatic Targeting Attack Communicator, just the MacGuffin of this movie. And it, like, orders their submarines to launch ballistic missiles. That's sunken. That's not good. So the British need to get it back. They're shitting their pants. And Gogol finds out that the ATAC's on the bottom of the sea somewhere. Gogol's with a dime piece, by the way. And he wants the ATAC, too, if it comes on the market. And Gogol, by the way, is really, you know, he's just comfortable in his job at this point. It's his third movie. You know, he gets his pick of the litter from the secretaries and any of the staff. This is Mother Russia in the 80s. I mean, he can do anything he wants. And when I say anything, I mean anything. And he is doing anything he wants. And he says, sure, if it comes on the market, I'm down. I need the ATAC system too. And he contacts his man in Greece. And we cut to Greece. To a fellow by the name of Havelock, who was contacted by the British, to find the sunken sub. Hey, man. We lost some pretty valuable cargo, and we need to find it, and I mean now. So Hector Gonzalez drops off their daughter, Melina, and then Hector drives off, and he flies back and shoots him up and drives away, and oh my goodness, this girl's parents are now dead. And you want to talk about confidence, by the way, Hector Gonzalez. He just makes one pass in that plane and just assumes he killed both of them. That's kind of hard to shoot that accurately two little dots in the sea and get him on the first pass. His boss is like, did you confirm the kill? No, but I am an incredible shot in this plane, so we are moving on. So Bond meets with Freddie Gray and Bill Tanner. meets Moneypenny before. She's looking a little bit long in the tooth. This might be the first movie where you're like, okay, perhaps we look at casting a new Moneypenny. That hairstyle is just not doing her any favors. Of course, poor Lois Maxwell, man. Like, she had to keep up with these crazy good-looking men for like 25 years. It's kind of not fair. I mean, you're not going to look as good as Roger Moore and Sean Connery. She's aging like you're supposed to age. And this is like the 80s, you know, so like she hasn't had any work done. Like now. Now you see like these 60 and 70 year old women, it's like to the naked eye, like on the first glance, you're like, oh wow, they look very good. They're a good looking older woman. And then like you really look closely at them and you can see like the face under the makeup. And you're like, oh wow, that's a grandmother. Never mind. That's really spooky and creepy and I don't want anything to do with that. But you don't have to look twice at Lois Maxwell. You just know right away. She doesn't look that great. But anyway, Bond goes in to meet with Gray and Tanner. Apparently, so the ATAC could be used to fire their missiles against anyone, including themselves, which seems like perhaps they should have put in some internal controls on the ATAC so they couldn't fire it at themselves. But, you know, I don't want to tell them how to do their job. And they tell Bond about Havelock being murdered by Gonzalez. The Greek police were able to identify him from a description given to them by Havelock's daughter. And Bond just goes, sex! And they say, what? And he says, I'm going to have sex with whoever that is. You just said there's a daughter involved, and I'm going to have sex with her. And they say, that's a weird thing to say. But they hand him a folder. It says, for your eyes only. And Bond says, hey, that's the name of the movie. And they say, they also say M is on leave in this movie, but Bernard Lee actually died before this movie. I'm assuming liver failure. Now, I tell you, everyone likes to debate like what the most Fleming thing in these movies are. It's casting Bernard Lee. His actual drinking is the most Fleming thing in these movies. Because, good Lord. I guess they just saw, like, hey, who's the drunkest guy you know? Ah, Bernard Lee. Okay, well, cast him as him. The dude used to sneak in, like, liquor in his in a ballpoint pen filming some of these movies. I mean, that is, you want to talk about a first Battle Hall of Fame drunk. I mean, even I haven't done that. I've snuck in booze other ways, and you don't want to know. But I haven't done it in a ballpoint pen, I'll tell you that. So Bernard Lee, hey down. So they send Bond to Madrid. Rest in peace. Yeah, obviously, they send Bond to Madrid to see who hired Gonzalez, and he goes to Gonzalez's villa in his fancy dancy new little Lotus. Great party, by the way, that he walks up on. You got armed guards, like, necking with chicks. You got some trannies in there. There's a trans woman in there, so that's fun. Like, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. Everyone's dancing. They're playing tetherball. Gonzalez is getting paid conveniently right when Bond walks up. So, I mean, a lot of cash in there. He gives some of his cash to just some whore sitting around. And Bond gets caught, like, instantly. And Hector's like, all right, kill this dude. And he goes for a nice little swim. And he gets bowed and arrowed in the back while he's trying to dive. And the guy who paid him, Loke, is like, well, I guess that saves me some cash. He just takes the briefcase back and takes the cash away from that whore. You know that whore is just devastated. She's like, all right, this is the money. This is how I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get my kids out of public school. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to stop going to these parties where there's guns and trannies. And, you know, nothing against trannies, but, you know, you go to a party with some trans people, you got to stay on your toes, okay? Trans, I'm sorry, I got to say trans, not tranny. The E sound is offensive, but the S is respectful. It's kind of like person of color versus colored person. One's respectful, one's horrible, but no one really knows why. But you know what, folks, that's neither here nor there. We'll have to tackle that race relations and the trans community on another episode. I just don't have time during For Your Eyes Only to really tackle that. But we're going to get to it. I promise you. So yeah, Hector dies. And Bond escapes. And their henchmen are trying to get into Bond's Lotus. And it just blows up in front of them, which is pretty great. And they use this piece of shit car instead. Oh, the guy... Here's another fun fact. The guy trying to break into Bond's car is Bob Simmons. I think this is the last movie he's on. Now, if you're a long-time listener, or just a long-time fan of Bond in general, you know that Bob Simmons has been Bond's stunt double since Dr. No. Stunt coordinator, Bob Simmons. That's the guy who tries to break in the car and gets blown up. So Bond and Melina get in this piece of shit car, this yellow car, and they have this car chase. I'm not really sure why they're in such a piece of shit car. The Havelock seem pretty well to do. They can't afford a better car, no? Well, Sinjasnath, maybe that's the point. They're having to It's a new spin on a car chase. They're in a shitty car. Okay, well, all right, fine, cool. Good for you. You can notice things and I can't. We're all so impressed. So Bond figures out that she's Havelock's daughter and he yells, "Sex! I will have sex with you. There's no two ways about it." And he has to take over driving for obvious reasons. And I mean, at one point, they're just side by side with the other car, and the other car has machine guns in them. Like, you don't want to shoot, you don't want to maybe send a couple bullets his way now? I feel like y'all might be able to nick him in the arm, at least, if y'all shoot now. But they don't, and that's why they're henchmen, and he's Bond. So they escape. Take a little sip of this breakfast martini. Ah, man. Whew. She's a spicy devil. So Bond drops Melina off at her hotel, and starts telling her all kind of shit about no revenge and all this stuff. You know, Bond movies, they have to go through this whole no revenge thing. This isn't a personal vendetta, blah, 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 revenge. Like, enough already. My patience is growing thin. And she's like, "I don't expect you to understand. You're English." And he's like, so I don't understand getting pissed at my parents getting killed? You know, my wife was murdered a few minutes after my wedding. I just visited her grave, by the way, a couple days ago. And I wanted to murder them. So, what the fuck does that mean? I'm English, I don't understand. You're English, I'm half Greek. What the fuck does that mean? You're half Greek. And Greek women, like Electra, always avenge their loved ones. And Bond says, "Hey, that's the villain from The World's Not Enough. She was French, though." And Melina says, "What?" Sorry. I don't think I need to stop doing this show, man. I'm starting to lose my mind a little bit. So... Bill Tanner and Freddie Gray, they're pissed because the mission's like dead in the water. You were meant to question him, not to have Miss Havelock kill him. It's like, well, how the hell? She was hidden in a tree when I got there. How the hell was I supposed to know this? And Bond's like, "If you look at page 2 of my report, I saw someone paying off Gonzalez." And of course, you know, Gray's like, "Oh, I didn't go past the first page. There's more?" And he's like, "This was for Havelock's murder." And Freddie's like, "I don't understand. I don't follow." Like, what do you mean you don't follow? You told me to go to this place to see who hired Gonzalez. I saw a man paying Gonzalez. Let's just assume that's the guy who hired him. And I put that in my report. So that's the guy who hired him. I found him. I don't follow. What are you, retarded? That guy. That's the guy we're after. Stupid. Big stupid man. Why y'all dumb and stupid? Big stupid. That's what Bond says. And Freddie, you know, there's no comeback to that. So Bond and Q use the identograph to get the guy who paid off Gonzalez. His name is Loke. And, you know, you got the usual Q lab. You know, you got the cast hitting people and stinging in the rain and all this stuff. It's kind of a little silly. Way too easy to identify Loke, by the way. Like, right off the bat, he's like blue eyes. Like, how the fuck you know he has blue eyes? You're like 100 yards from him. The picture already looks like Loke to start. Nah, they're cheating right here. And he calls Tanner after that to say they have the man and knows where to find him. And Tanner's like, "Okay, great. Try not to muck it up again." Dude, fuck you, man. What's with the attitude? Y'all didn't even read my report. Y'all had no idea I even had the guy. I went to Q, identified him. We know where he is. Y'all didn't even do shit. I don't appreciate the attitude, bro. You're not even him, okay? So I don't need to put up with the shit from you. But Bond doesn't say any of that. I said it. But he should have said it. So he goes to find Loke in Italy. And meets Luigi there, who's his contact. Who brings him to Cristados. Cristados spends a few months a year in his chalet. Now, you want to talk about when you know you've made it in life? If you spend a few months a year in your chalet somewhere, you've made it. It's over. Retire. Prop your feet up. Anytime you get a chalet, I've also said anytime you get to name your house, like a Palmyra or whatever, Palmyra in Thunderball, if you name your house, you're done. You've made it. So that's what Cristados is doing. And Luigi's such a shitty contact, by the way. He's saying like all these great things about Cristados and how he's an honest guy and he's great. And like, he's the villain of the movie. Spoiler alert. Dumbass. You couldn't have figured any of this stuff out. So he goes to meet Cristados, who's watching BB skate. This stupid fucking girl that I don't know why is in the movie. And what do you know? Loke is there. He's just conveniently watching them. BB, the ice skater, wants to know immediately, like, if Bond's going to escort her to the biathlon. And Bond's like, I don't know, man. I can't be dealing with underage women. This is that gets pretty hairy. And Cristado starts like bashing Columbo, who's like his rival. And it's something about smuggling. It's like the least of his offenses. He does drugs, contract murder, white slavery. It's like, oh, okay. If it was black slavery, that I can take. But you don't put whites into slavery, okay? That's just a line Cristados won't cross. So Bond goes to like the town square or whatever and sees Melina there fucking crossbow shopping. Real subtle. And saves her from like some motorcycle attack and tells her to get the hell out of here. Apparently someone sent her a telegram as Bond to meet him there. So, or maybe it was a hologram. I don't really know. So someone's trying to get Melina killed. So they're on to Melina. Oh, this is the Robin Young appearance. Robin Young, if you're not... Most people don't know who this is. Robin Young is the flower girl in this scene. And she was... Playboy had a Next Bond Girl contest. And she won. And I follow her on Twitter. And a lot of fans like interact with her. And she is batshit crazy. Crazy person. And she's just been blocking so many fans for like nothing. Some of the nicest fans on Twitter, she'll just block them for anything. And they're like, what the fuck did I do to Robin Young? Her tweets, I don't say anything to her just because I don't want her to block me. So I can just read the freaking spiral out of control. But I actually saved some. Would you like to hear some? Okay, sure. Like, dear friends, I'm dealing with a lot of adversity in my life right now. I know I'll survive and come out stronger. And when I do, I'll be back on social media to be with you. Please know you're always in my thoughts. I love you with all my heart. You don't need to tell us that. And then later, hello, my name is Michelle, a close friend of Robin. She's under an enormous amount of stress due to an unhinged neighbor who's harassing her nonstop and stalking her. Robin's vehicle was also vandalized. She sends her love and she'll tweet once this horrible situation's over. Dude, when you're that hot, now she's like 70. Dude, no one's stalking you in your 70s. You're just nuts. Okay? You're making a big deal out of everything and you're insane. And another tweet, hello, this is Robin's friend Michelle again with an update. While dealing with the unhinged neighbor, Robin tripped and fell. Robin tripped and fell on February 22nd, as if we need the fucking date. She's recovering from numerous injuries and is unable to tweet. I'm not sure if you know how tweeting works. Robin asked for your prayers. I didn't pray for her, if in that case she wanted to know. And she sends her love, which I didn't accept. And then she tweets later, my hip and back, my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack are not cooperating with my hopes of sitting up and tweeting. Do you not know how Twitter works? You don't have to sit up to do it. It's not a computer. You don't have to get a desktop. It's on your phone, ma'am. I have physical therapy this week, and I'm praying I'll be mobile soon. When I feel better, I'll tweet my ass off. You see, so this is just a crazy person. Sorry to go on such a tangent about Robin Young, but... give her a follow. She's out of her mind, and it's just fun to watch. She's blocked so many people for just nothing, and it's really just enjoyable. Anyway, moving on from that. Sorry to waste your time with Robin Young. Back to the movie. So Bond's saying, Melina, get the fuck out of here. You don't need to involve yourself with this. And she's like, well, how are you involved in all this? And he's like, it affects both of our countries. More important than my parents? Yeah, it's a vital interest to both of our countries. Is it more important than my parents? Yes, more important than two people. Do you know what vital means? It means of utmost importance. So it affects two entire countries. Do you think two countries is more important than two people? Yes, idiot. But they start smiling at each other and they start laughing and the driver thinks that maybe perhaps they might be in love. So, back in Bond's room, BB just broke in and gets naked in bed. And Bond's like, I can't be dealing with this. You get your clothes on and I'll buy you an ice cream. I wish Bond would have just looked at it for a while and just said, ah, fuck it. Maybe I won't get in trouble, right? She's just begging for it. So, yeah, he tells her to get lost because this is weird and you're like 16. So, they go to the biathlon. And the blonde henchman of the decade, Kriegler, is skiing around. Dude... the look he gives BB when she yells his name and says hello is one of the funny... I think about it all the time. The fucking scowl he gives her. Like, so much anger in that look. While she's got that Lloyd Christmas cowboy hat on, that's probably why he's giving her such guff. Hey, Eric! Just like, we'll have a drink at the finish. And he's like, no, I don't think you're going to have a drink with him at all. This dude looks fucking furious with you. And BB doesn't want Bond to leave since he's about to head back to Greece. Will you come say goodbye to me at the practice rink later? And Bond's like, Jesus, what are we, dating? Fuck. This is why I don't date people. Can I come say goodbye to you? Ugh. I'm saying goodbye now. I just said goodbye. But it's not the same. Ugh. Go away. Lady, I met you like a half an hour ago. Can you come say goodbye to me later at the practice rink? Oh, fuck. No. Do I have to? Don't make me do stuff. So anyway, he leaves. And Kriegler and Loke and a bunch of henchmen attack Bond. Pretty cool chase, actually. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Bond is just an unbelievable skier. Roger Moore in particular. Good little chase. Kriegler, who is literally a professional Olympic level shooter, can't hit him. I love when, like, Bond goes up to that ski jump. It's the one where you, like, go straight down, and then all of a sudden you, can't explain it. You go back up and you go, like, I don't know, hundreds of feet in the air and you land it. That crazy jump they do in the Winter Olympics. Bond just goes down it. He's like, fuck it, I'm good at everything else, right? I'm sure I can do this too. He skis over some people's, like, lunch at one point. I just love that. They start skiing, like, motorcycles and a bobsled. It's just a great chase scene. The music kind of sucks, though. Bill Conti, I just really don't like his soundtrack for this movie. And this is probably the worst one. There's no Bond theme. It sounds like the Rambo soundtrack, like those drums and, like, a lot of disco in it. I need the Bond theme for this because he does a lot of cool shit. Kriegler runs out of ammo and just throws the gun and the motorcycle at him. Bond just skis off like, nice throw, pussy! So Bond actually goes to BB's practice and tell her goodbye. I could eat you up alive. But he, like, wants to know more about Kriegler. Tell me more about your boyfriend, Kriegler. He doesn't smoke, he only eats health foods, and he won't even talk to girls. It's like, well, that motherfucker just tried to kill me, so I need to know a little bit more about him. And then he finds out something about him. I can't remember what it is or if it's even helpful. But I'm too distracted by, after they leave, the lights turn off. And these three hockey henchmen attack Bond and get into a hockey fight. And I don't even know what... I'm so baffled every time I see this. Like, are they going to check him to death? Every time Bond knocks one of them in the net, the buzzer goes off. There's someone on the actual scoreboard working the buzzer and keeping score. Think about that for a second. Just a three-person hockey practice. So I guess this is like Loke's henchmen? Okay, guys. Put on your hockey uniforms. I think Card Sense is going to go to the hockey rink today. A what now? Yes, I hope you guys are skaters and you brought your sticks and your gear. I want you all to attack him on the hockey rink. No weapons, just a hockey stick. You sure you don't want us to just shoot him? We could do that. I brought a bunch of guns. We could just shoot him. No, hockey fight. So Bond goes back to his car and Luigi, his stupid contact, is dead with Loke's dove pin. Damn shame. Didn't even get to know him that well. So, send your condolences to Mario. Let's take a break for the advertisements. Dr. Bushkin's Scam Clinic. That's a pretty straightforward name. Made some extra cheese that you want to keep away from Uncle Sam? Dr. Bushkin has the medicine. New creative ways to do some shady shit. Dr. Bushkin will cover up your money so that no one will ever know it was there or where it came from. Pick your crime. Money laundering, Ponzi schemes, false receivables, embezzlement, kickbacks, skimming, and good old-fashioned straight-up theft. Dr. Bushkin will help you get started on stealing from whoever you'd like to steal from until it inevitably all comes crashing down. That's Dr. Bushkin's Scam Clinic. Start borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. Okay. Well, at least, you know, coming from my place of white privilege, ooh, I love me some white-collar crime, you know what I mean? You don't get in trouble for it. You go to a minimum security prison. So, guys, go ahead. Call Dr. Bushkin. You won't get in that much trouble, and you'll be rich beyond your wildest dreams. There's my tip of the day. Bond news? We have no fucking Bond news. Stop asking me. It's enough already. You're just going to make me mad. You're just going to put me in a bad mood. There's no Bond news. There's never going to be any Bond news. It's over. So it's enough. They did announce that stupid, reality show that they're doing on Amazon Prime. It's going to be hosted by Brian Cox. So, I don't know, man. Whatever. Do with that information whatever you'd like. This concludes the Bond News portion of this podcast. It's breakfast martinis. Treat me right, guys and girls. So Bond goes to Corfu with Molina to find Columbo. And they go to the casino right away. Playing this fucking dope with crooked eyes. And he's an idiot. And I don't like him. He's just losing his ass off. And his stupid lady comes up. You're perspiring, Bunky. He's like losing big, but like still puts up a huge bet. Only half? Where's your courage, Bunky? Bitch! Easy for you to say. And of course, Roger Moore's a gentleman. So like, he says, you know, courage is no match for an unfriendly shoe contessa. And like, throwing logic her way just doesn't register. She's like, I don't know what you just said. Why are you talking back to me? I'm too good looking. And Cristados is there at the table with Bond. Tells Bond the odds favor standing pat. Oh, thank you. Oh my, you're such an asset to have. Thank you, Cristados. As if I haven't played this game to perfection 600,000 times. The odds say to stay. Oh, I didn't know that. So Bond, of course, wins, and that crooked eye guy loses. And he's like, I don't speak French. What happened? You lost everything that you have. And Contessa walks away. Just looks at the lady next to him. She's like, hey, what about you? You game? And she's like, no. Get your eyes fixed. Goodbye. So Bond meets with Cristados after that. And asks how to find Columbo. Big leagues him by rejecting his wine selection. Which is just always funny. Too scented for my palate. Get your scented palate ass out of here. And Columbo's at the next table with the Countess from the game earlier. Turns out that's kind of her job, but I still don't like her. I still don't appreciate it. And the Countess gets up and says, how dare you talk to me like that? And Columbo says, I'll talk to you any way I want. Sit down. And she leaves, and Bond's like, ooh, okay. Might have a little in here. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm just gonna bang her. That's kind of not only my go-to move, it's kind of my only move. So I'm gonna go bang her to get some information from her. So, you know. Oh, by the way, the Countess is Pierce Brosnan's wife. I'm sure most people know that, but some don't. Pierce Brosnan's first wife before his beloved Keeley. And she actually ended up dying. I can't remember how. Maybe cancer, something horrible like that. So, you know, just going to bring down the podcast for a minute. But yeah, Pierce Brosnan's first wife. That's how he met the producers and everything. And everyone was joking on set about, oh, okay, this is going to be the next Bond. Now, there is a big-time fun fact. A Pierce fun fact. The greatest of all fun facts. A Pierce-themed fun fact. So Bond meets the Contessa in the casino and says, hey, I'll give you a ride home. And she says, well, aren't you handsome? Sure. And he's posing as an author. I'm writing a novel about smugglers. Do you know any? I'd be most grateful. And the Contessa says, how grateful? And Bond says, how grateful enough to get in that ass! So he bangs her at the house. Boy, I mean, say what you will about the Contessa. Hell of a host. I mean, I have all this champagne. It's funny to just go home with a woman and drink an entire bottle of champagne with her. That's just a funny thing to do. Okay, first, let's have 5 glasses of champagne. She's got this big robe on. She supplies Bond with a robe. Who knows who that belonged to, but Bond has a robe on now. Huge-ass fireplace. They're banging. I think they're eating oysters or something. It's just a wonderful time. And then the next day, Loke just runs her the fuck over. I mean, there's just no other way to say it, really. They go for a walk on the beach, which I don't even know why they're doing this. Bond's in the bathroom getting dressed, like right when he wakes up. Good morning, you want to go for a walk on the beach? And you just hear Bond in the bathroom go, fuck. Ugh. These clingy women in this movie, Jesus. I mean, Bond's wearing tux shoes on the beach. You don't go on the beach in tux shoes. I just want to go home, Contessa. I have a tuxedo on, and I'm not going to put on some other guy's clothes again. They're not tailored. All right? And I'm sober this time around, so I just want to go home. I didn't bring beach attire. When you're ready to leave, you can take my car. I'm ready to leave. Take me home now. I want to get the hell out of here. And then Loke and all his henchmen come across like this hill, and Bond's like, oh, fuck. She's like, oh, what's wrong? And he's like, you're going to die. And she's like, what? And Bond's like, I don't think we should see each other anymore. And he's just running away. And, I mean, she takes a header off the fucking windshield, and it is just terrific. Really a treat to watch. Go treat yourself. Contessa Death, for your eyes only. YouTube it. Look it up. Whoever was in charge of the sound effects for this movie, or just for that one scene, give the man an Oscar. Or the woman. Whoever did it. But methinks it was a man. Because only a man would take that kind of pleasure and seeing a woman's head get smashed by a windshield. Well, gee whiz, Sinjin Smile, what the fuck you mean by that? I don't really know what I mean by that. Disregard it if it's offensive to you. So Bond gets kidnapped by Columbo's men. Wakes up and, like, this henchman hands him some clothes, like blue pants, blue belt, blue jacket, blue turtleneck. It's like, come on, guys. Splash of color somewhere. It's a lot of blue. So he meets with Columbo, who says, Christados is the bad one. Not me, I promise. And he works for the KGB, and he hired Loke to retrieve the ATAC. And he's like, well, goddamn. Now I don't know who to believe. And once he gives Bond his gun back, loaded, he's like, oh, maybe you're trustworthy. Shit, let's have some pistachios together. He actually smuggles pistachio nuts. His big thing is pistachio nuts, and he smuggles them. Gold, diamonds, cigarettes, and pistachio nuts. Offers Bond a drink, and Bond's like, I'll wait till tomorrow. And just points a gun at him. That sounds like something I might do. You want to talk about peer pressure in a friend. If they don't want to drink with me, I usually take out a gun and make them drink with me. Then they hop to pretty quick. They start drinking real fast. And so does Bond. So that night, they go to Loke's and attack Loke and all his people. And they just, like, end up blowing up the entire place. It's like, you know, I guess it's a cool enough shootout. Columbo's throwing pistachio nuts all over the place. I don't even know why he brought those with him. I think I talked about this last time. Like, if he'd have forgot his pistachio nuts, how pissed he'd be. Like, he's just lost without his pistachios. Just on the ship, randomly, on the way over there. He's like, shit! What? What's wrong? I forgot my fucking pistachio nuts. God damn it! Turn the boat around. He's like, we can't. They're there. We have to. Well, oh, god damn it. The rest of the trip, he's just moping like, shit. Fuck. Just pouting. I'm lost without my pistachio nuts. So Loke escapes from this, and Bond runs him down. One of the most iconic shots of Roger Moore in that under that bridge. He shoots Loke. Loke's teetering on the edge of a cliff. But Bond, he's like, I've had it with your shit, Four Eyes. Just kicks him off the fucking cliff. The coldest kill for Roger. Gives him double birds. He had no head for heights. He'll never be the head of a major corporation. I don't think he ever talks, does he? Loke? He was scary. Not a bad henchman. Roger actually didn't like this at first. He thought it was too, like, cold for Bond to do. Which I'm glad he got overruled on that, because I love this scene. So Loke, he gone. Meanwhile, Bond and Melina get the ATAC from the wreckage. I can't remember how they figured out where to go. But they figured it out, and I congratulate them for that. They're about to go diving, and Bond's like, the air will be useless at this depth. We need a special mix of oxygen and helium. And it's like, how the fuck do you know that? What are you, a marine biologist? They got those big yellow suits on. And Bond says, hey, these look like the Moonraker crew outfits. And Melina says, what? And Bond tells her before they go down there, like, conserve your gas supply. Speak only when necessary. That's just a creative way for a man to tell a woman to just stop talking so much. And then Bond, right after that, is just out loud, just saying everything he's doing. Reading the instructions out loud to the ATAC disassembly. Screwdriver, please. Shit, I need a Phillips head. It's like just wasting all kind of oxygen. And then she yells James when there's a henchman that comes to attack him. But he's like, stop talking. Conserve your gas. And I hate listening to you. So they have, like, this slow motion fight with basically, like, the Michelin Man, which is just ridiculous looking. And he ends up cutting her gas line, which is actually the quickest way to lose oxygen. And yeah, they blow that dude up and they got the ATAC. Actually, here's another fun fact. Boy, I'm full of fun facts today, huh? They didn't film this underwater. They did, like, the exterior shots and stuff. But the close-ups of Melina and Bond, they just, like, had fans on them and, like, filmed it in slow motion. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. Oh, really, St. John Smythe? Because we're just always watching For Your Eyes Only. And now we won't be able to watch it the same, huh? Well, you know what I mean. Once you see it once, you know, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway. So they bring it back up to the surface. Bond, like, bumps into some underwater temple. Careful, James. It's 5,000 years old. Bond's like, I don't give a fuck about the Greeks. And they get up to the surface, and Chrysalis just happens to be there as well. And he says, dang, that was lucky. And they tie them up, and they're going to throw him in the water to drag him by the boat. They bind up Bond's wound. We don't want blood in the water yet. And Melina's like, murder. And he's like, yes. Yes, I am a murderer. What is your point? Did you think I didn't know I was a murderer? Did you think I'd see the error of my ways now that you called me a murderer? That was dumb. Talking about wasting oxygen. Shouldn't have said that, stupid. Oh, this shirt in this scene? Another fun fact. I'm not even going to make a big deal out of it anymore. I'm throwing so many fun facts your way. The shirt in this scene cost $375 online. It's a t-shirt. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. It's a v-neck. The v-neck t-shirt he's wearing in the movie, same color as the one I'm wearing. I paid, I think, $30 for this one. It's $375. It's a t-shirt. If you buy that, you're an asshole. I mean, forget, like, you know, you have the money or not. You're just an asshole if you buy that shirt. I'm sorry. It's just a fact. $375 for a t-shirt. So Bond finds a way to get free from the thing. He, like, starts cutting the rope on some coral or whatever. One of the henchmen, meanwhile, just falls in and gets eaten by a shark. And Cristado's like, ah, leave him. Like, you know, we don't have a medical staff on board, and I don't want to fill out the paperwork. So then once Bond gets free, they're like, ah, the sharks have them now. Let's go. It's like, dude, you don't want to confirm the death. You don't want to put some scuba gear on and, like, go check it out. You think the sharks have them? The sharks have them. But, you know, it's lunchtime after all. All right, how about this? We go get lunch, and we're gonna come back. I'm going to come back myself, and I'm going to check. I'm going to make sure. Promise. But, I mean, I am hungry. Let's go get lunch. But I'm pretty sure the sharks got them. This scene's actually from the Live and Let Die book, which is the second novel. They drag Bond like this. I mean, I feel like y'all should, like, send in some money for all these fun facts I'm giving y'all. This might be a set of record for the most fun facts in one review. I mean, good Lord. Can you get that anywhere else? Any other podcast? Do any other shows on the network have those kind of fun facts? I don't know. I mean, I haven't listened to them all, but, I mean, now granted, they haven't all been fun, but most of them have been facts. So Bond gets and Melina get away, obviously, and they get back to her room, and the parrot tells them where Christos is going. That's not a hilarious joke I just said. The parrot that belongs to the Havelocks, he just repeats everything he hears, so Saint Cyrus, they attack, whatever. So now they know where to go because of the parrot. Neato. And Bond meets Q in a confessional, meanwhile. He goes all the way to wherever they are, Greece, just to tell him that he doesn't know where in Greece Christados is. It's like, y'all don't have phones in the UK? You could have just told me that on the phone, that you don't know where he is. And Columbo tells him where he is. Oh, hey, another fun fact. Jesus Christ. Michael G. Wilson is the priest in this scene. There's his cameo. Blink and you'll miss it. It's quick. So anyway, Columbo tells Bond where Christados is. And Q, I don't even know. I guess he just has a vacation after that because there's no reason for him to go over there. And Bond teams up with Columbo and his men on Christados' mountain. And Columbo's like, we should have brought more men. And Melina's like, James is counting on surprise. Okay, then we surprise them with a bunch of men. That's pretty surprising when you're just hanging out and 50 men just storm into the room. Why do we have to have a small amount of men for the element of surprise? We're only 5 men and 1 woman. As she takes someone else's crossbow, the dude next to her is holding a crossbow. And Columbo says, we're only 5 men. And she says, and 1 woman. Takes the fucking dude's crossbow. That doesn't belong to you. Excuse me, ma'am. I don't know who you are or why you're here, but that's my fucking crossbow. So let me guess. You didn't bring a weapon to this. Is that what you're saying? I mean, I have a gun in my pocket. I have a knife. I mean, I didn't come up empty-handed. You just didn't bring anything, and now you're taking my crossbow. Cool. I guess you can have it. So we cut to Christos's mountain inside. BB's practicing. What are we doing in this creepy place? Which is not a bad question. Yeah, she's a figure skater. And all of a sudden, she's on top of a mountain in Greece, and she's hot, and she's just doing stretches. And Christos comes in and is like, hey, good news, we're going to Cuba. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, ladies, I'm a Bond villain, okay? And it's the third act, and I got to keep moving, because they're hot on my tail at this point. So we're getting our goofy asses to Cuba, and I don't want to hear another word about it. I want to win the gold medal. We all want that. And BB's like, I know what you want, and you're too old for me. And Christos must be like, well, god damn it. I'm not going to get the banger at the end? Why the hell do you think I put this much time into sponsoring a skater? Why is he paying for all this, by the way? All jokes aside, why is Christos even sponsoring a figure skater for the Olympics? Who cares? He's a Bond villain. He's got, like, billions and trillions of dollars in his mind. Why is he sponsoring a skater who's annoying? So he's pissed that he can't bang her and blames the coach. I will deal with you as I deal with everyone who betrays me. Excuse me? That was a hell of a turn. Where'd that come from? And he's like, yeah. Maybe you didn't hear me earlier, but I'm a fucking Bond villain. And I say diabolical shit like that. That you don't even know what it means. I'll deal with you as I deal with everyone who betrays me. Jeez, are you going to kill me? I didn't even turn her against you. Yeah, well, I don't really care. Get a little irrational at this point in the movie. Getting some lesbian vibes from that coach, by the way. Does she want to bang BB? I'm not really sure. You know, that's just a little side note. That's something for you as the listener to just kind of let that marinate. You know, maybe her sexual orientation is for other women. Maybe she's kind of into BB. She's underage, though, so she might be a sex predator. So keep your eye on her. So Bond scales the mountain, and his henchman, like, kicks off one of his little nails or whatever. Right when Bond drops, Melina drops her fucking crossbow. Sorry, drops someone else's crossbow. And the henchman next to her is just shaking his head like, bitch! And she's like, what? What's my fucking crossbow? It's fine. It's not fine. There's a goddamn scratch on it. I see it right there. That scratch was already there. No, it was not. It's brand new, and you took it from me, and now you dropped it because someone fell. And there's a scratch on it that was not there before, and I intend to be fully reimbursed. Columbo, there's a scratch on my crossbow, and I don't like Melina, whoever this girl is. So, this is actually a hell of a stunt, by the way. Bond, climbing back up with that rope. I have no idea how he's doing it, but slowly climbing back up the rope on the side of the mountain as the henchman is knocking away all his nails off the mountain. It's pretty cool. But he's also a fucking idiot. Just wait until he gets up and shoot him in the head. But the henchman has to, you know, get his shine on, and Bond throws a fucking dagger in his heart, which is just great, and he falls to his death, and it's wonderful. So they get inside, and Gogol is approaching from a helicopter for the ATAC, since Christados has it. Melina's like, they're storming the mountain at this point, Columbo and Bond and all them. Melina's like caring for the henchmen and stuff, caring for their wounds. Lady, these are henchmen. Do you have any idea what they're capable of? Some bad hombres. I don't care for a henchman. And the guards are like, right when they get there, the guards are just sleeping, like in their bunk beds. It's the middle of the day. Get up. What time is it? And BB's like, Jesus Christ, what is happening right now? I thought I was just a figure skater. And she goes to Christados and he's like, where's Brink? Go back to your room. You can go to hell. And just smacks the ever-loving piss out of BB. Which is just always fun. And then right after that, Kriegler smacks the shit out of BB. Now, you know that one hurt. I mean, Christados is an older man. I mean, I'm sure it hurt. But Kriegler, it's an Olympic athlete. This dude is jacked. He's been waiting to do that slap the entire movie. Just smacks the shit out of her. Rubbing her face like, I don't think I like it here. I think I need a new sponsor. And Bond comes in to fight Kriegler, and Christados could just give a shit about them fighting. He just like looks at him for a while and like just slowly walks away. And Bond ends up killing Kriegler. Something with a rock over his head, and he uses the weight against him. I don't know, but Kriegler's dead. Thoughts and prayers. So Christados leaves with the ATAC, and Columbo follows him and gets fucking smacked in the face with the ATAC. Now you think BB got hit hard. This is beyond concussion. Remember the guy from Tomorrow Never Dies that Pierce shatters that crystal ashtray on him? Like, it's that kind of concussion. Like, you're drinking through a straw after this. That's how it is. A brutal, or the guy from Living Daylights who fights Necros and gets hit in the head with the frying pan. It's that level concussion. Columbo gets the piss knocked out of him. So they capture Christados anyway. And, you know, Columbo starts vomiting everywhere because he doesn't know his name anymore. And Melina wants to kill him. And Bond gives her, you know, guff about revenge, whatever. And Christados tries to stab them meanwhile. And Columbo throws a knife in his back. I don't know how he gathers himself to do this, but he does it. And Gogol lands and says, give me that fucking ATAC. I'm here, you know. And Bond just throws it off the cliff. And he's like, that's detente, comrade. You don't have it? I don't have it. And Gogol laughs and just leaves and looks in the camera and says, so really, guys, nothing mattered this movie. This was just kind of all for nothing. Hope you enjoyed the film. I love the explosion it makes, just to make it all dramatic. And BB helps Columbo, and he pays her in pistachios. Now, again, that's not a joke. He she's tending to his wounds, and he puts pistachios in her hand from his pocket. So, you know, that's that. So Melina and Bond are smooching. You know what I'd like? Yes, I do. A moonlight swim. And Bond's like, fuck. So many hoops I gotta jump through for the women in this movie. Good Lord. A midnight swim? We're already, like, on this nice boat. Can't we just have sex now? I had to, like, go tell BB goodbye 3 times, and I had to go walk on a beach with Contessa, and now I gotta go for a moonlight swim. Can't we just have sex like normal people? And meanwhile, MI6 and Margaret Thatcher call Bond, and Bond puts the parrot on to talk to Margaret Thatcher. That's also not a joke. It's like a Margaret Thatcher impersonator. Give us a kiss. Give us a kiss. And Gray unplugs it. Idiot. And there's end credits. There's For Your Eyes Only. There's your big boy. There's your full size. Did great at the box office. You know, Roger was like, you knew what to expect with him. You were going to make your nice little profit. Wasn't breaking any records. Of course, Moonraker did. But, you know, did well. Reviews are good. And fans rank it pretty highly. It's not that uncommon that you see people rank this in the top 10 of Roger movies. I'd say they probably, you know, behind The Spy Who Loved Me, it's probably the most highly ranked Roger Moore movie. Although I do see Octopussy a lot in people's rankings, pretty high. So, but yeah, this is not my kind of movie, though. Not my kind of Roger movie. I like that they tried this, but it's just, I don't know. It's something about it doesn't feel right. And I really think a lot of it has, oddly enough, a lot of it has to do with Bill Conti's score. I love Bill Conti. Obviously, we know Bill Conti. You know, he did all the Rocky movies. But the disco vibe, and I just feels out of place, and it's like it throws the whole movie off for me. And I dare say I dislike this more than Eric Serra's Goldeneye score. This might be my least favorite Bond score. It just kind of throws the movie off to me. I should have asked Bill Conti about that when I went to see him in concert in Baton Rouge. Yes, I went to see him at LSU. He's an LSU alumni. And I drove my ass on a Tuesday night to go see him perform. And it was actually a good time. Yeah, Bill Conti in concert. He just donated all of his music, whatever that means, to LSU. So that's not a fun fact at all, but it's just kind of that's more of like a tidbit, Bill Conti. Bill Conti was actually interviewed by Ryan of the Rocky podcast, if you ever want to listen to that. I listened to it. My favorite part was that Ryan called him at the wrong time. He was like an hour or two late, so Bill Conti was already pissed at the beginning of the interview. That made me chuckle. That's a nice way to... So you're already nervous before you even get a question in. So, Bill Conti, he can suck it for this movie, but not for anything else he's done. Very underrated Bill Conti score. Rookie of the Year. Great score, Rookie of the Year. Anyway. But yeah, For Your Eyes Only, I think it's, you know, it's the bottom... It's in that bottom quarter of my ranking. It might be like number 20 or something. I don't know. I just never have liked it. I never watch it. I always say Saturday is for Roger Moore. You pop on a Roger Moore movie, you're good. Except for Your Eyes Only. It's the only movie. I just never watch it. But I tell you though, I always look forward to watching it because this is just not a movie I'm familiar with. So it always feels new. Does that make sense? But yeah, it's all right. Christatos is such a forgettable villain. Kriegler's okay. Loke, I actually enjoyed a lot more than usual. The no-speaking henchman, like that. Melina's not a bad Bond girl. BB's annoying. I don't know. I think it was just the tone with Roger threw me a little bit. The score threw me off a little bit. I don't know. It's just not my favorite. So, there's For Your Eyes Only. I'm just finishing up my breakfast martini, and I'll go have a mint julep after this. So don't worry. Just because I had a little baby recently, you know, I have to stretch these things out a lot, you know, like one drink every couple hours on a Saturday when I have a podcast to do. And now you're thinking, well, goddamn, Cindy Smythe, it's the Drunk Bond podcast. You have a kid now, you still going to get drunk? What the hell? Hey, don't worry about me, okay? I'll have my drinks. I'll get drunk, all right? You just worry about you. You know, last New Year's Eve, I punched an old woman. Don't talk to me about drunk. And with that, we'll see you next time. I think I'll be doing maybe You Only Live Twice next time. I've kind of been in the mood for that. Or we'll just keep going Roger. We'll go Octopussy, Vito a Kill. Not really sure. What else do I have? Fuck, I still got Skyfall and Spectre, too. I don't want to watch Spectre.
Oh, don't make me watch Spectre.
All right. We'll see you next time. So long.